Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 through 10. And it reads, Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, "For you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Lord's blessings are already added to his word. May it be sanctified to our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, O God, we give you thanks for this time of worship, this time of fellowship. Come, we sing the songs of praise and prayer and adoration. We come to fellowship one with the other, to encourage each other. We come now to listen to the word, to what you have to say to us. We ask now that you will speak to our hearts as only you can. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will be speaking with you on the thought from the verses read, "Our lives should prove that we are children of light." Our lives should prove that we are children of light. Darkness hides things, so we do not see them as they are. It obscures the way, so we do not see where we are going. On the other hand, light illuminates things so we see what they look like, and we know where we are going. So then, the idea of darkness in our text speaks of spiritual ignorance, and the idea of light speaks of knowing or spiritual illumination. Now, if you look closely with me at the text, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." I want you to see what the text does not say, because this is important as we approach the text to understand what it is not saying. It is not saying that you were once in darkness, nor is it saying that you are now in the light. You see that? What it says is that you were once darkness, but now you are light. For the text is not speaking of our environment. It is not talking about our external situation. The text is speaking of our internal state of being. You were something else, but now you are something else. So that is clear. That must be clear as we approach the text. Because we need to understand that what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church is that in view of what we were and what we now are, it is important that we live as children of light. Now, I would hope that if you are a child of light, that this text will encourage you to shine as light when you depart from here. And that if you are not a child of light, it will become clear to you as to how to become a child of light, so that you can shine when you go from here. Now, our first thought. We are light because we are no longer darkness. We are light because we are no longer darkness. Look at the text with me. The first statement, for you were once darkness. That's what you were. Speaking to the saints, speaking to the child of God, darkness was what we were before we became saved. And darkness is what every unbeliever is. Every person who has not yet made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is darkness. Not simply in darkness, but darkness. Of course, there is the idea that people, sinners, live in darkness, but the point of the text is that the sinner who is outside of Christ is darkness. It speaks here of the basic nature or drive of the soul, the individual soul. It is speaking of the inmost being of who and what you are. The character of darkness is ignorance. Spiritual ignorance is the character of darkness. That is what our text is dealing with. The person outside of Christ is ignorant. Even if that person, and now don't get me wrong, I'm talking about educational ignorance. You may sit here, you may have a PhD in philosophy. If you don't know Jesus, you are ignorant. Spiritually ignorant. If you don't know, you could be a rocket science. If you do not know Jesus, you are darkness. So don't mix up the two. I'm talking about the spiritual state or condition. Now, many of you might be sitting right here. Some of you might be right here today who are darkness. You may have been coming to this assembly for a long time or recently, but you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. In other words, you walk in the light, but to remain darkness. You may have been raised in Sunday school and taught all there is about Jesus, and you may have intellectual knowledge about God, but if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, you are darkness, and you are spiritually ignorant. Tough thing to say, isn't it? But it is spiritual reality. Now, how does spiritual darkness manifest itself? Go back to me, look with me at the text. The text begins with a preposition, for. For. You see that? For you were once darkness. Now the for, the preposition, is referring us to our previously stated facts. And what is that previously stated fact that the for is referring us to? And that is verse 3. Go back to verse 3. Now look at verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity, or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Listen, my friend, if you live in any of these conditions, you are darkness. If you live in sexual immorality, if you live in coarse talking, if you live in an impure, morally impure life, you are darkness in heart. Matthew Henry, in his concise Bible commentary, says this regarding the condition. He says, the caution is not only against gross acts of sins, but also against what some men make light of. But these things are so far from being profitable that they pollute and poison the hearers. Our cheerfulness should show itself as becomes Christian, so that God will be glorified. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, all these things may look good to the sinner, enticing to the appetite, but they are the ugliness of sin which control the heart of darkness. They appear to the sinner to be beautiful and desirable, and hold out the prospect of fulfillment and satisfaction, but in reality they lead to confusion, frustration, and heartache. It is the nature of sin to look good on Saturday night, but bring grief on Sunday morning. You hearing me? It is the nature of sin to hold out the offer of pleasure, to entice you into a relationship or into a condition or state that looks good, but it ends up leaving you frustrated, lonely, and empty. For that's the nature of darkness. The nature of darkness is gloom. Gloom. Morally, moral and spiritual gloom. Those who are darkness, regardless of how hard they try, they can't help but have that shadow of gloom settling over their lives, settling over their hearts. Because on one hand they think they are having the time of their life, but on the other hand there is something that reminds them of their ugliness, their sorrow, their wretchedness, and their frustration. That, my friend, is spiritual darkness. You're still with me? Good. That's my first point. Second, we are light because we are in the Lord. You see that in the text? Now are you light in the Lord. You were darkness, but now you sit here this morning, you claim to be saved, you say you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are saying I am light in the Lord. What you are saying is that your heart has been illuminated. What you are saying is that you have a clear sense of who you are. What you are saying is that the basic character of your life is moral and spiritual illumination. That the light of Christ radiates your innermost being. There is peace and contentment of soul. You know what light in the Lord means? It means spiritual enlightenment. It means, as the song says, I know where I am going. I know. You know, it says, I know who I am, and I know where I am going. The Apostle John, writing to the church, he says, dear friends, now are we children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. If you are truly a child of God, you don't have to search for yourself. This is an age of searching for self and searching for identity and searching for personhood. If you know Jesus, you know who you are. You're a child of God. You have been bought with a price. You are in Christ. You are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You know who you are if you are saved. You have to be wondering, find who you are. You don't have to be falling into one sin or the other. You don't have to be tumbling into one relationship, one illicit relationship or the other, because you are searching for what you don't know. you are light in the Lord, you know where you're going. You know what you're about. You know what you're seeking. Because light means illumination. Light means clarity. Light means direction. No more, as a child of God, would you have to stumble along, falling over the pitfalls and falling into trouble and all kinds of sorrow and heartache because you don't know who you are. But you knowing who you are, you don't no longer have to fall into those things. Now, the purpose of light is not only for internal illumination, but also for external illumination. External radiance as well. Now in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." That's what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. And then he gave two examples. He says, "A city on a hill cannot be hid. All those who pass by will see that beautiful shining city on a hill." Even an example, it says, "A lamp that is lit in the middle of a dark room will illuminate everything in the room and everybody in the room, so you can see who is in the room and what is in the room and what is going on in the room." And then he says this. Listen to it carefully. "In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let me ask you, when was the last time that somebody saw your light and say to you, "I will go to church with you because your light shines brightly"? That was the last time somebody glorifies God. When was the last time somebody was thankful to you? Praise God, because they saw your light shining, radiating, so that they can see. Now listen to me carefully. When the believer practices darkness, it dims his or her light. When the believer practices the deeds of darkness, it dims his or her light. Now, in verse 7 of our text chapter, look at what it says. Verse 7 of our text chapter, look what it says. "Therefore, do not be partners with them." With partners with them who? Well, do not be partners with those who practice sexual immorality, impurity, greed, foolish talk, silly jokes. Don't partner with them. Don't share in their folly, their sinful folly. And then in verses 11 through 13 of the text, it says, "Do not countenance them." Look with me now. Go to our text, 11 through 13. Look with me at the text. When you go home, you need to read it. The preacher not telling you anything that is not in the Word. Look what it says. "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible, things visible. In other words, I'm going to upset you right now. If you are to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, you can't watch a lot of the shows you watch on TV. It makes you partners to wickedness. You are sharing in immorality, idolatry, and sinful being. I hate to say this, but one of your favorite star, Oprah, is one of the most depraved hosts on TV. Any trash that exists in society is aired on Oprah. And for many of you, it's your favorite show. I've seen some of the most depraved condition pulled out of some of the most depraved situation. And she's the most powerful woman in the world, some says. What does that say about our society? I know I would upset you. To countenance darkness means to wink at sin. To countenance darkness means to wink at sin. It means to laugh and to be entertained by wickedness. That's what it means to countenance. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. When you wink at, when you laugh at, when you are entertained by it, you are practicing darkness. You call yourself to be in light. The need to have the unsaved world to like us and to accept us has caused us to lower the standard of righteousness and to participate in some of the most dark situations in society. Because most Christians don't know what holiness is all about. We are living in a very pathetic, spiritually pathetic time, where wickedness has become the order of the day. Sin is accepted. And now the great call of the hour is tolerance. Tolerance. The liberal won't tolerate your wickedness, your weakness, and they won't tolerate you praying in the name of Jesus, but you must tolerate their violence. You see, they set limits for your righteousness, but there are no limits for their perverseness. Are you light in the Lord, or are you dark? If you're going to live as a child of light, you must not countenance darkness. When you are participating in or being entertained by it, laughing at the coarse joke, having fun, some of the most depraved things, it means you are practicing darkness. Many of us have fallen prey to the condition of darkness around us, and the light in us has been suppressed, so that nobody knows what you are. Nobody knows you're a child, or that you claim to be a child of light. You still here? Yes. have one more point. I'll get out of your hair soon. Number three. We are light if we bear the fruit of what the light consists of. We are light if we bear the fruit of what the light consists of. Look at the text with me. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Now the King James Version says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now keep your Bible open, because I want to draw your attention closely to a very significant point here. Neither the NIV or the King James Version refer to the evidence of light or the Spirit as F-R-U-I-T-S, fruits. Notice that. The word fruit is not in the plural in the Bible. It's in the singular. Did you see that? Look at it. The word fruit is not in the plural. It's in the singular. He says, the fruit of light consists of, and it gives you three things, but it's still fruit. Is that deliberate or incidental or a mistake? No, my friend, it's deliberate. The outworking of the Spirit or of light is one fruit, and that is the fruit of love. The outworking of the Spirit or the fruit or of light is one fruit, and that fruit is the fruit of love. Now, the fruit of light or the fruit of love is manifested in goodness, righteousness, and truth. So you have this one fruit, and this one fruit is manifested in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now let's look at the manifestation of the fruit of love, or the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. One quality, or the first quality of light or the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness. Now, according to Vine, in his word study, says goodness signifies that moral quality which is good in its character or constitution and beneficial in its effect. It is used to describe the regenerate person or the Christian person. Speaking to the Romans, Romans 15:14, Paul says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness. That's the word in the text, as one of the manifestation of the fruit of light. Now, some theologians believe or point out that this word goodness in our text has a sterner meaning, is somewhat sterner than another word used for goodness. This is the sterner of the other word for goodness. And they point out, for example, when that woman, Jesus was in Simon, the Pharisee's house, that woman with ill repute came in, knelt at his feet, cried and wet his feet with her tears, wiped it with her hair, and then poured perfume. And Simon and his sophisticated friend said, well, you know, if this man knew the quality of this woman, he wouldn't let her touch him. And then Jesus, in the gentler goodness, said, Simon, you see this woman? I came in and you gave me no water. Washed my feet. Nothing to dry my feet. But this woman, from the time I sat down, didn't stop crying. You know why, Simon? Because to whom much is given, much is expected. In other words, this woman understood the degree of her sinfulness. She understood the degree of her sinfulness. And as a result of that, she's able to give herself in a way that you wouldn't understand. That was gentle goodness. Here was Jesus was confirming true repentance in this woman, who came sorrowfully pouring out everything she had at the feet of Jesus. That's the other word for goodness in the text, the other concept of goodness. The concept of goodness in our text is Jesus going into the temple where those guys selling and buying and exchanging money and selling animals and cutting some whip and whittling them out and driving them out, turning over the money table and letting go the animals, and says, my Father's house is a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. So there are two kinds of goodness here. Now listen to me carefully. The goodness, the stern goodness in our text is because when the world seeks, when the world seeks to suck us into its immoral mold, we must exercise stern goodness. The Apostle Jude gives us an example of that in Jude 23. He says, be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire, and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Literally, whatever you have to do to snatch a fallen believer from falling into sin, do it. You may not like all you have to do, but do it anyway. In other words, when a brother or a sister in this congregation, among you, when you know that they are sinning, when you know that they are living immorally, when you know that they are heading in destruction, what do you know about them? Well, it's not my business. You know, people do their own thing. No, my friend, when you know that there's a brother or sister walking in the wrong direction, you have a responsibility to snatch them out of the fire of hell. Whatever you have to do to snatch them. Yes, you can go and speak gently first. But if you go into Matthew, it talks about discipline. It says first one person goes, secondly take another person with you. Then bring that person before the church, and if he still doesn't repent, excommunicate him. Throw him out! And in Corinthians it says, deliver him to Satan, so that his body might be destroyed, so that his spirit might be saved when he did. That's how far you have to go to save a brother or sister out of the jaws of hell. Stern goodness. I don't know where we get this idea that Christianity is this pacified kind of a religion. Oh, we're so gentle. We're so nice all the time. People are falling into the pit of hell, but we are nice. We don't understand truly. That's the problem with Christianity. We don't understand truth. Second quality of the fruit of light, or the fruit of the Spirit, is righteousness. Righteousness. Now, it is the quality or character of being right or just. That's what righteousness means. Righteousness means the quality of righteousness is being right or just in what you do. Formerly it was spelled right wiseness. Right wiseness. Because they couldn't kind of figure out how to spell. Righteousness speaks of the wisdom of a thing being right. The wisdom of a thing being right. It is not just saying or doing the right thing. Listen up. It is not just saying or doing the right thing, but rather saying it for the right reason. Believing in what you say, that it is what it is. So here it is. So regardless of how it turns out, you will do it the same way again. I know a man who is reversing his car in a parking lot. He ran into the car behind him, and there was a slight dent in the front bumper of the car behind. He got out of his car, looked at it, there was a slight dent. He didn't know whether it was his car, but he left his name and his number with a little note. When the owner of the car that was running, when the owner of the car called him and gave him a bill that shocked him, the little dent, he wasn't sure it was him, but out of his goodness, he left his name. The owner took the opportunity to really sack it to him. This man who did the good deed was very angry. And he said, I regret leaving my name. I would never do it again. He was right the first time. He was wrong the second time. If you are doing it as a fruit of light, if you're doing it for righteousness' sake, you will do it again. Which brings us right home. How many times does somebody have to do you wrong before you cut them off? As a person of light, as a person who is light, and who exhibit the fruit of light, love expressed in rightness and justice. When do you regret the right thing you do? When is it that you no longer are willing to serve because you're not going to be taken advantage of one more time? I'm not talking to anybody here, am I? Righteousness, my friend. Righteousness is doing it because it is right, not because you like what is happening or you like what has been done to you. You do it because of righteousness' sake. Because you are light in the Lord. You respond because that's what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. In every situation, find out what pleases the Lord in the situation and do that. If you do that, you are walking as a child of light. A child of light. You still with me? We are living in a retaliatory society. You cross me once, you won't do it a second time. You hurt me once, I'm not giving you a second chance. What does righteousness say? Righteousness say, I must be just in all that I do at all times. Let me be honest with you, sometimes it's tough to serve the Lord. Sometimes, if you haven't found it tough to serve God, you haven't been serving Him right. Oh yes. That 70 times 7 thing. if anybody in here can forgive 70 times 70 and it doesn't bother you, let me see your hand. But you see, it's part of the growth and the development and the perfection that God is working in our lives. Rightness and justice, just behavior is not a part-time thing that we do when it's convenient. We do it because of who we are. Light. Light. It is not dependent on the circumstances or the situation that surround us. We do it because we are light in the Lord. Now I hear you talking. Well, you're not married to the person that I'm married to. I have something on all of you in here. I've been married for 45 years. Name it. I've been there. Name it, I've been there. But I learned one thing. If I am going to live as light in the Lord, I have to learn the hard way. Finally, third quality of the fruit of light, truth. Truth. Truth means the reality lying beyond, lying at the basis of an appearance. Truth here means the reality lying at the basis of an appearance. It is not simply truth in appearance, but truth in reality and truth in fact. It is what it is, not what it appears to be. Now, when Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, go call your husband and come. The woman said, Jesus, I have no husband. Now, here's a woman married 5 times, divorced 5 times, shacking up with another man who was somebody else's husband, shacking up with a woman, another woman's husband. And she said she had no husband. You know what Jesus did? He commended her to tell him the truth. He commended her. Because if she had gone and called the man she was living with, she would have been calling another woman's husband. So in appearance, she had a husband. But in reality, she had no husband. Huh? I want you to see the truth here, my friend. In reality, you can shack up all you want. You don't have no husband, you have no wife. But here's the point. Here's the point of the text. Truth. We are living in an age of distorted truth. An age in which we think we can get away with things. People lying to each other by twisting truth or giving half truths. Or saying what things appear to be without saying what it is. We are living in a very dishonest age, and I want you to know that for the most part, you and I have bought into the dishonesty. And even in the truth, the church has found that some of the greatest lies come from the pulpit. Because we don't know what truth as an evidence of the fruit of light is. What happens when we lie? What happens when we give half truths? It comes back to haunt us. Sooner or later, people lose confidence in us. Sooner or later, a wife can't trust her husband, and a husband can't trust her wife. His wife, and a parent can't trust the child, and a child can't trust the parent. Friend can't trust friends, and church members can't trust church members, because sooner or later you discover that what he or she has told you was not the whole truth. And confidence is lost. Confidence is lost. But if you are light in the Lord, if you are light in the Lord, you can speak nothing more than the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Oh, yeah, we lie to ourselves. I'm protecting my wife from the truth because she can't deal with the truth. I'm protecting my husband because he can't deal with the truth. I'm protecting somebody else because hey, she can't deal with the truth. No, my friend, it's not because they can't deal with the truth, because you can't deal with it. You can't deal with the consequence of what it's going to mean for you. You can't deal with the consequence of how the person is going to respond to you. So protect yourself with a lie. What result? There is no basis for building true, honest relationships. Dear brother, for you were once what? But now are you what? Light. Don't stop there. Now you are what? Light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. When we don't walk in light, I tell you what happened, my friend. Darkness is oppressive. Darkness is oppressive. And the believer who walks in the shadow, in the corner, where righteousness, where goodness, righteousness, and truth are concerned, is very sad. Any believer who lives in the shadow is very sad, very unhappy, often remorseful and sorrowful. You might not even know why you have no joy. You may not know why there is no peace in your life. You might not know why there is no confidence.
contentment. It is because you are walking in darkness. And as long as you live there, as long as you walk there, you will never experience what God intends for you. The illumination of the heart and the life that brings in light and freshness and joy and peace and contentment. But that's what light does. It dispels darkness. It dispels darkness. Where the gloom of darkness exists, where the believer is practicing the fruitless deeds of darkness, and that darkness come in, it overshadows the whole. It overshadows the light. It overshadows the heart. It overshadows the life. And you grow as one who has never been light. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
With your heads bowed and your eyes